Coming up this half hour, navigating challenging times. We'll hear about organizations stepping up to help pet parents keep their pets cared for. We'll get an update on how shelters are handling adoptions. Then we'll have some fun learning new tips for moving into autumn with our furry companions. The historic pandemic has challenged so many families with added financial burdens, and those families include our pets. Fortunately, we find people and organizations stepping up to help. Associated Press filed this report. To Keep Pets in Homes, Animal Welfare Groups Help Owners, by Linda Lombardi, Associated Press, August 18, 2020. Early in May, Nydia Bonifat was concerned when her dog wouldn't eat and seemed lethargic. She realized that Poppy, a 9-year-old Beagle Cavalier mix, must have hurt himself. He cried when he was touched, but she was without income to pay for vet care. "I lost my job a while ago, and then the pandemic started," she says. "I went in March to see the doctor for very bad bronchitis and asthma, and he said that I have to stay home because I was high risk." Fortunately, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has a clinic in her Brooklyn, New York neighborhood where she had taken Poppy before. She got him some pain medication and free dog food there, and after a few days, he was his old self again, running and playing with her son. Many pet owners are finding themselves in financial straits during the pandemic. At the same time, there's a growing recognition among animal welfare organizations that to help animals, they need to help struggling pet owners. Increasing access to health care and critical resources for pets that are living in poverty is the best way to keep pets out of the shelter, says Matt Burschader, president and CEO of the ASPCA. If we can provide those services, we can keep animals in a home where they're bonded and loved. Burschader said the need is rising. We estimate that another 4.2 million pets will likely enter poverty over the next 6 months as a result of the COVID-19 crisis and the ensuing economic fallout. That's a 21% increase in the number of pets living in poverty, bringing that to about 24.4 million pets living in poverty. Since it was launched in March, the ASPCA's $5 million COVID-19 Relief and Recovery Initiative has provided $2 million in grant funding, set up new pet food distribution centers in cities including Los Angeles, Miami, New York, and Asheville, North Carolina, and helped more than 268,000 dogs, cats, and horses nationwide, including distributing about 1,800 tons of food. In response to COVID, we put a lot of this work into hyperdrive, says Burschader. We made grants to about 50 organizations across 30 states to support them as they navigate the crisis. Another organization offering subsidized veterinary care to low-income pet owners is Mission Animal Hospital, a nonprofit in Minnesota. Executive Director Dr. Susan Miller says the price of care is a common reason people give when surrendering their pets to shelters and rescues. They can't afford it, so they think their only option is to surrender, she says. I believe that everyone is entitled to the relationship you can have with a pet, no matter what your finances, because I so strongly believe in what pets bring to our quality of life and our humanity. Mission opened up their subsidized price program to anyone in need due to the pandemic. We're seeing about 200 to 250 more pets per month due to COVID-19 related issues. So that would be 10 to 15% more pets per month, she says. And that number's only been getting larger month after month for the past 4 months. Mission also has formed partnerships with organizations that distribute free pet food. We never had that before as a resource for our clients, but now we know we really need it, Miller says. We had 1,000 pounds of food delivered a few days ago, and it was gone in a little over 2 days. Burschader notes that so far most shelters are not seeing an increase in surrendered pets. While they're tracking this carefully, the potential for an eviction crisis is a particular concern. It's not a surprise to him that even when people have to cut back, caring for their pet is a priority. We see people go to extraordinary lengths to keep and care for their pets, he says. I think that speaks to the power of the human-animal bond. They are part of the family. Bonifort agrees. I don't even use that word, give him up. I don't even want to put that phrase in my mouth, she says. He's adorable. He's my baby. He's my companion. I love him so much. Also in the news from Associated Press, AP reports that in Aurora, Colorado, there are still plenty of pets available despite a pandemic surge by Quincy Snowden, Karina Julig, and Kara Masons. September 12, 2020, Aurora, Colorado. It's not unusual to see baby booms after snowstorms, hurricanes, and other natural disasters that keep humans confined to close quarters for extended periods of time. Now, the prolonged hibernation spurred by the COVID-19 pandemic has introduced weary residents to a new production phenomenon, pandemic pets. The number of paws per home has increased in recent months as families and singles have grappled with life largely confined to walls and roofs, experts have said. And the metro area hasn't been immune to the craze, though officials were nervous that poorly thought-out adoptions were going to result in a wave of orphaned animals showing up at local shelters this summer. At the beginning of the pandemic, when layoffs were skyrocketing, Karen Martini, founder of Animal Rescue of the Rockies, was concerned local shelters would see more people dropping off their pets, unable to care for them. That wasn't the case at all, said Martini, who started the rescue in 2003. In fact, pet rescues say they've seen substantial increases in adoptions because of the COVID-19 crisis. Everybody seems to want a dog or cat, and that's been good news for rescues that work to find animals forever homes. From January through July last year, Animal Rescue of the Rockies adopted out 1,872 pets. During the same time frame this year, the rescue found homes for 1,201 pets. Martini said if the momentum keeps up, her organization will surely surpass last year's total. The same is true for Richard Banke, who runs the Colorado division of the Tasia Blue Rescue. They specialize in rescuing Siberian Huskies and Malamutes. Last year, the rescue homed 54 dogs in Colorado. This year, they're already at number 56. Headlines across the country have highlighted a so-called pet shortage fueled by the pandemic and people spending a lot of time at home. But here in the Denver metro region, Martini said it's easy to find a cat or a dog. There's always a need, she said. People looking for specific breeds or young puppies may run into wait lists, but her rescue and others like it are currently able to help more and more animals. The more challenging factor so far, at least for Banke and Martini, is finding foster families for dogs before they move on to their forever families. We really have to rely on them, Banke said. That's especially true now. At the Aurora Animal Shelter on East 32nd Avenue, pens are replete with Labrador Retrievers, mixed bull terriers, and toy breeds, according to Anthony Youngblood, manager of the city's Animal Services Division. We constantly have labs or American bulldogs or pitty mixes, Youngblood said of the shelter, which typically houses upwards of 100 animals at any given time. And we have little dogs galore, getting into the Maltese, Chihuahuas, etc. Cat and dog adoptions are slowly trending back up at the shelter after numbers plummeted in April. Staffers adopted out just 8 dogs and 5 cats in the 4th month of this year, which pales in comparison to the roughly 60 dogs and cats the shelter was adopting out in the months leading up to the onset of the pandemic in March, data shows. The sharp decline was largely due to a temporary moratorium the city placed on taking in new animals this spring, according to Carol Valentine, the shelter's longtime supervisor. Because COVID hit, our intake stopped as well, Valentine said. If we would have had the animals to adopt out, our adoptions would have gone through the roof. Once we did have something come in, it was gone, like immediately. that we've seen that slow a little bit over the past couple of months since things are starting to return to normal a little bit, but it was crazy initially. Both Valentine and Youngblood said the average length of stay for an animal at the shelter varies widely by age and breed, with traditionally popular pooches moving in and out in a matter of hours. Chihuahuas have been the most popular dogs to be adopted out of the shelter in the past 2 years, with 31 of the animals already adopted out of the facility in the first 8 months of 2020, according to city data. Labrador Retrievers, German Shepherds, Siberian Huskies, and miniature poodles rounded out the top five most popular breeds in the city. The website that lists all current Aurora shelter animals looking for a home, petharbor.com, listed 4 dogs, 5 cats, and 2 rabbits on a recent Tuesday afternoon. That's on the lower side, according to Valentine, who's been with the shelter for more than 2 decades. The city typically partners with the Everyday Adoption Center at PetSmart in Westminster to adopt out pit bull terriers and other breeds that have long been banned in Aurora under city code. But that facility is currently shuttered due to COVID-inspired staff shortages, leaving illegal pit bulls waiting in escrow at the Aurora facility. "We have pitties we can't adopt out because we're in Aurora," Valentine said. "So right now they're just waiting for that place to open. If they're open, we could have anywhere from 12 to 15 dogs, more or less. We never have a lot." Last month, Aurora City Council members punted a potential ballot question that would have asked residents to reconsider the city's 15-year-old ban on pit bulls and a smattering of other breeds. Residents overwhelmingly voiced their support for the ban when a similar question went to the local ballot 6 years ago. Council members are currently working with Youngblood staff to draft a dangerous dog ordinance that could, if passed, rejigger the city's current ban on the dogs. Regardless of the breed, the city's animal shelter charges flat rates for new pet owners based on an animal's age. A puppy under 6 months old costs $175, an adolescent dog is $150, and a pooch older than 6 runs $135. Cats are slightly cheaper and run on a similar sliding scale, according to Valentine. With the complimentary spay and neuter, rabies shot, and microchip, the shelter's overall charges for a new domestic creature are far more economical than the 4 or 5 figure totals charged by bespoke breeders, Youngblood said. "French bulldogs go for thousands of dollars, and we don't get many Frenchies in, but when we do, it's the same price. It doesn't matter what the breed is," he said. "We get inundated with a ton of requests when we get those popular breeds in because people know it's first come, first served. There are some agencies that have recently said, hey, this breed is popular, so we adjust our rate for this animal or this breed, but we've never taken that on." The city's animal shelter saw some 3,000 dogs and cats last year, although a small portion of those were adopted. The majority of the animals that come through the shelter are either strays waiting to be claimed by their owners and animals picked up in evictions or somehow implicated in other legal proceedings. Still, animals that enter the facility leave alive at a higher rate than at other area shelters, Youngblood said. The space's live release rate is currently about 95%, which is several clicks higher than the industry average. "That's been one of the few perks about this year that's actually been nice," he said. Of the current live release rate, which sat just above 89% for all of 2019. "The shelter only euthanizes animals for severe medical or behavioral issues, never age alone," Youngblood said. "Staffers at the site are currently trying to adopt out a 15-year-old cat named Phoebe, though they've had to euthanize 2-year-old dogs with insurmountable medical problems." Animal care workers also work with a slew of partner groups to place more unique animals in suitable environments. Officials collaborate with local Scales and Tails pet shop owners to take aquatic beasties like turtles, which are common at the shelter, Youngblood said. Less common was the caiman, a reptile related to an alligator, that a local man tried to surrender after he was evicted in Arapaho County last year. A bearded dragon, for example, can get adopted, but an alligator is illegal almost anywhere, Youngblood said. Creatures like those are among the umpteen that come through the facility's doors but aren't included in the annual cat and dog count, making the total number of living beings in staffers' care much higher, Valentine said. The 3,000 number is very conservative, she said, mentioning the hamsters, gerbils, roosters, pigs, goats, and feral cats that end up coming through the doors. And each of these creatures requires a unique housing program, Youngblood said. Hamsters and gerbils, for example, are often shipped off to local Petco stores where undomesticated cats usually head east. Animal Services coordinates with ranchers in Watkins, Byers, and Strasburg to arrange homes for feral felines that can't live with people, but are well suited to patrol barns for snakes, bats, and other invasive critters, Youngblood said. Isn't that interesting? Let's switch gears now and turn our attention to the season upon us. With this, telltale signs that fall is upon us dog lovers. 10 Ways Your Dog Tells You That Autumn Is Here by John Nelson at getleashed.com. Ah, autumn. Crisp, clean air and wonderful colors. As if the pumpkin spice everything, wool sweaters and knit hats weren't enough of a sign for us, there are certain things that only us dog lovers get to see year in and year out. We certainly do love this time of year with our dogs and all the things that come with it. First is burr fur, the number one telltale sign that fall is here. The hours you'll spend picking burrs out of your dog's fur. It might be annoying, but it lets dogs know we love them. Next is more sleep. All animals have an instinct to hibernate come fall, and dogs are no exception. Look for your buddy to spend extra time by the fireplace or heating vent, and don't be surprised if they become ninjas at sneaking into your bed. Third is extra cuddle time. All right, it could be that we get cuddlier when the weather cools down, but either way, there seems to be a lot more time spooning with our furry best friends. Four, it's time to hit the groomer. Experts say that a visit to the groomer between seasons is the best way to keep your dog healthy and a first defense against any unknown issues. Plus, groomers are professionals at getting rid of burr fur. Five, they look adorable in a sweater. You find yourself thinking that your dog all of a sudden looks more gorgeous than usual come autumn. It's probably because you put a fall sweater on him. Six, letting their hair go. While that beautiful coat stayed thin and shiny all summer long, in fall it'll get a bit more coarse and lengthy while our pups prep for colder weather. Don't fret. At least you won't be vacuuming twice a day for the next few months. Seven, sunsuckers. Dogs need vitamin D as much as we do, and they know it. They'll spend as much time as possible in the sunny spots of your home while autumn rolls in. If you think they're getting a bit depressed, you might be right. Try a sad light in your home this winter. It works great for humans and sun-loving pets. Eight, food freaks. Dogs have that instinct to put on winter weight, and unlike us, they're not watching their waistline or fretting that they moved up a hole in their favorite belt. This is a great time of year to exercise in the cooler temperatures, so be sure to even out any extra eating with longer jogs or walks. And this may not only apply to the dogs. Nine, vet visits. You probably put it off all summer, so now that your schedule's opened up a bit, it's the perfect time to visit your dog's favorite person, the vet. Get some peace of mind with a checkup, making sure all that summer activity didn't lead to any unseen injuries or lurking illnesses. And 10, pull out the booties. There might not be snow and salt on the ground yet, but us dog lovers like to make sure we're prepared. So when the bathing suits for us and the life jackets for them go into the closet, those two cute booties make their first appearance. And now, for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That. We get reminders about many of these autumn hazards on a regular basis, but there are some on this list that we don't often hear about. Perhaps because this is one. This list is from our friends on the other side of the pond, the UK. So listen up and see if you can pick out any new tips or information you might find helpful. In this article, 11 of the most common dangers for dogs in the autumn, from vetsnow.com in the UK. The leaves have changed and there's a chill in the air, but the autumn months do pose some hazards. Here are some tips to keep your dog safe during the autumn months. First, seasonal canine illness. The Animal Health Trust has been investigating seasonal canine illness, or SCI, since September 2010. Cases of this mystery illness are generally seen between August and November. SCI can affect dogs of any size, shape, or sex, and it causes dogs to become very ill very quickly after being walked in woodland. The most common clinical signs are sickness, diarrhea, and lethargy, typically experienced within 72 hours of walking in woodland. If you suspect your dog is showing signs of SCI, then contact your vet immediately. Number two is conkers. While serious cases of poisoning are rare, ingestion can cause marked gastrointestinal signs such as drooling, retching, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. The conkers case and conkers themselves can also cause intestinal blockages. Dogs usually vomit any ingested conkers quickly, so treatment to control vomiting may be needed. In case you don't know what they are, I didn't. According to woodlandtrust.org.uk, conkers are the glossy brown seeds of the horse chestnut tree. They grow in green, spiky cases and fall to the ground in autumn. The shells often split on impact to reveal the shiny conker inside. Conkers contain a poisonous chemical called asculin and are poisonous to most animals, including dogs. Number three on our list is rat poisons. Most but not all rodenticides in the UK contain anticoagulant compounds that interfere with a rat's ability to clot its own blood. One-off exposure to products bought in garden centers often does not cause problems. However, repeated exposure to products or exposure to professional rodent baits can cause disruption to a dog's blood clotting ability and result in massive hemorrhage or bleeding. The effects may be delayed for several days. Blood clotting or coagulation tests are often needed to determine if a dog is at risk of developing problems. Treatment involves giving an antidote and, in severe cases, transfusions of plasma or whole blood. 4. Luminous necklaces and glow sticks. The chemical mixture within luminous jewelry and glow sticks is very irritating to the gums, commonly causing dribbling, frothing, and foaming at the mouth, vomiting, and stomach pain. Thankfully, although the signs can look dramatic, ingestion is unlikely to cause significant problems. 5 is oaks and acorns. Exposure to acorns in dogs is common in the autumn and winter. The toxic ingredient is thought to be tannic acid, which can cause damage to the liver and kidneys. Signs include vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, and lethargy. Ingested acorns can also cause an intestinal blockage. 6. Fallen leaves. Piles of leaves can develop bacteria and mold. If your dog ingests these, it can lead to gastrointestinal upsets. 7. Antifreeze. The worst of all the chemical spills is antifreeze, which can leak from a car's radiator. Ethylene glycol ingestion is very dangerous. It is sweet tasting and very palatable, and even a relatively small quantity can cause serious kidney damage and be fatal. The first signs of intoxication can be that your dog appears drunk. If you know your dog has ingested ethylene glycol or you have any concerns, contact your vet without delay. The prognosis becomes less good the longer the delay between ingestion of the antifreeze and initiation of treatment. 8. Chocolate. Chocolate sales rise around Halloween, but remember, it contains a stimulant called theobromine that's poisonous to dogs. The amount of theobromine differs depending on the type of chocolate. Dark chocolate has the most in it. Theobromine mainly affects the heart, central nervous system, and kidneys. Signs will occur from 4 to 24 hours following ingestion, and you may see vomiting, diarrhea, restlessness, hyperactivity, rapid breathing, muscle tension, uncoordination, and increased heart rate and seizures. 9. Grapes and raisins. The toxic substance in grapes and raisins is unknown, but it can cause kidney failure. Dogs with health problems may have an even more serious reaction, so those should be avoided. 10. Mushrooms and toadstools. Some mushrooms are highly toxic to dogs, but even fungi experts or mycologists find it difficult to tell between them. The best bet is to ensure you keep all of them well out of your dog's reach. And 11 is exercise. With fewer daylight hours and cold weather, you might find that your dog does not get as much exercise as he does in the summer. It is a good idea to monitor his weight and food intake, as you may need to reduce the amount of food that you give your dog to stop him putting on weight over the winter. If you are walking in low light or darkness, consider a fluorescent jacket and or a collar. You could also attach a flashing light to your dog's collar to make him easier to spot. Ensure he is wearing an identification tag and a microchip with up-to-date contact details. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time, and don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment.